I have a funny question. Are you proud of your country? As I was thinking about this opening question, I wanted to ask you guys, if it's okay, to think about your national anthem. Think about your national anthem. Think about how it starts, okay? And as you think about your national anthem, why don't we sing together your country's national anthem, if you know it. Ready? Begin. Okay, hold on. I only hear the Americans. What's going on? All right. Okay, I wasn't planning on having us sing the whole thing, so don't worry. When people in your country hear the national anthem, do they begin to tear up? Are they moved by your national anthem? Are you moved by your national anthem? Some of us are really patriotic, and we hear our national anthem, and we're excited about it. Some of us, we don't care at all about the national anthem. To be honest, I have no clue how the Taiwanese national anthem goes. Can someone help me? Ready? Begin. Okay, thank you so much. I have to go back and listen to it more. When we sing, some of us, and perhaps especially at like sporting events and things like that, when we hear the national anthem, it causes people to feel a little bit more maybe united. Maybe it causes people to feel a little bit more excited about their country or their team. And there's this sense of like coming together and having an identity together. But even if that's the case, sometimes we might be there and then the game starts and there's a complete separation. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about? Like in sports, you guys sing the national anthem together and everyone's really happy, and then once the game starts, there's a separation. Well, I bring this up because, you know, as Christians, we also talk about being united. We also talk about being one people together. We even have our own sort of national anthem. And we're supposed to feel like we're all part of the same group. We're all part of the same body. And yet, so many of us, we feel lonely. We feel separated from other people. We feel different from one another. And that's especially the case at a church like our church, where most of you still feel new to our church. Some people, they've been going to church for like 2-3 years, and they still feel like they're a newcomer at the church. And so because of this feeling, maybe some of us, we don't really get involved in the church. Maybe some of us, we kind of stay away from other people. We just want to come and worship God, and we think that's it. And that's what church is all about. But today, the main idea is going to be this title. You were meant to belong. This church is supposed to be your home. And the way that God intended it was not just being a part of God's big family with people from all around the world and we just belong to some heavenly family. No, the way that God designed it is that each church that gathers together is supposed to represent the larger family of God, and we here together are supposed to feel like a family growing together. And so the main idea for today is this: you were meant to belong, so participate in the life of the church. And the 3 points that we'll be going through are: number one, separation; number two, brought near; and number three, to be built up. Again, the main idea is you were meant to belong, so participate in the life of the church. And the 3 points are separation, brought near, and to be built up. As we dive into our passage today, We remember from last time, it was talking about how we were dead in our sins, but we were made alive with Christ. And after we were made alive with Christ, God wanted us to be involved in good works, which God prepared for us before the foundation of the world. And so we want to be involved in good works, but what does it start with as it talks about doing good works? It talks about how we are one family, how we are one body. It starts off by saying, remember that it wasn't always like this. Remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made by flesh and by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Let me break this down a little bit for you. It makes it very specific, and it says, remember that you Gentiles in the flesh. Now, if you're not really familiar with biblical terms, this is talking about people that were not Jews. Anyone that was not a Jew was called a Gentile. But Paul makes it very, very specific and says, you Gentiles in the flesh, meaning that there are people that were not physical or in the flesh. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles. Because at other points in the Bible, it uses the word Gentile. And I don't know if you notice this or not, but sometimes the word Gentile is used in a spiritual sense. It's talking about unbelievers. But here, Paul is being very, very specific. He says, you Gentiles in the flesh who were called the uncircumcision by the Jews who are the circumcision and the circumcision made by hands, not the circumcision of the heart that Paul talks about in other places. He says, remember this, that you Gentiles were not part of the family of God. And Israel was called the family of God. Israel was the nation of God. And you were separated from that at a certain time previously. You were alienated from the commonwealth, or maybe a word that maybe might be a little bit more recognizable is you were not a citizen of Israel. You were not a part of that nation. And you were strangers to the covenants of promise. You know, like Israel, when you read through the Old Testament, God is not just a God of punishment and anger. He is, because he's a God of justice, but he's also a God of love, a God that is faithful, a God that is good. And he wanted to have a relationship with the people of Israel. And so throughout the Old Testament, you see how God is fighting for the relationship between him and his people. He's saying, I want to have this relationship with you. I want to make sure that there's going to be a way that I'm going to rescue my people and have a relationship with you. But you, my people, keep turning away from me. And so I'm going to work. I'm going to do something to raise my people from the dead. I'm going to do something to raise the people to become alive with Christ, and so that we can have a relationship with one another. This is the idea of a covenant. The covenant is a relationship that God has established with us so that we can be a family together with God. But as Gentiles, non-Jews, you were not part of that relationship with God. And the result was that there is no hope, and without God in this world. And I want us to think about that idea. What is it like to be without hope and without God? Think about the people that are in your lives that are not believers. You know, they may believe in some other religion. How much hope do they have? What is their life like without God in their lives? There's a lot of things that we could talk about. We could go in many, many directions. But to focus on the topic that's in our passage, I want to talk about this idea of us versus them. Sometimes in missiology, when people that are in missions, missionaries and people that study missions, they also use these terms, us and them. And this is a way to identify what people groups are, how there are different people groups out there. But a lot of times we use these terms, us versus them, to identify ourselves with some group of people, and we say those people out there are different from me, are different from us. And we draw all kinds of lines between me or us and them. Some of those lines can be because of religious lines. Well, I've grown up a Christian, and those people grew up as non-Christians, and so we're different. We're not the same. Sometimes we draw lines based on country. Even in our church, something that I'm very thankful for is that we have people here from all around the world. But even though we are supposed to be a representation of God's family, we are supposed to be growing together here, and yet we still feel the separation just based on country within this church. Sometimes it's based on political views. Sometimes it's based on cultural values. This past Friday in my community group, I talked about how when I was younger, at my home church, we were sharing about wonderful New Year's memories, and I shared about how at my church, when the New Year came around and it was 12 a.m., and we all said Happy New Year to each other, we were in service, and then at the end of the service, we would all get up and make a big circle around the room, and then we would go around hugging every single person in the room. That's what we used to do at my church. And then one person said, "Ugh." And that's okay. That's okay because cultures are different. People talk about physical touch in different ways, right? But because of these different cultural values, there's a difference between us and them. Maybe sometimes it's based on tribes, maybe different people groups. Maybe in your country, you come from a country that has different people groups. And then when you were back in your home country, you would say, oh, those people versus us. Sometimes it's based on just even within the same family. I'm the good child and he's the bad child. Sometimes it's between the rich and the poor. Sometimes it's the higher class versus the lower class. It's those people that have money and those people that are on the streets. The hard worker versus the relaxer. We draw that kind of line. Sometimes it's the person that's on time, and it's the person that's on time or late, right? Sometimes we draw lines about people that are more logical versus those people that are more emotionally in touch. And because of all these different labels and because of all these different ideas of what we think makes us different from other people, we remain separated. We feel like we're not brothers and sisters in Christ. We feel like we're not able to share prayer requests with one another. We feel like we're not able to share about the deeper struggles that are going on in our lives. We feel like we're just different. And we don't act like a family of God. We don't represent what God wants us to represent. If you've been a part of our church for a while, you know that there are many sermons that I've used to talk about this idea of community and how we need to come together as a family and how important it is for a church to really come together and be that community together. And it's not because I'm just trying to emphasize this idea. This is what comes from Scripture. This is what God's Word emphasizes and keeps talking about. And so, you know, you might draw a line by saying, I'm just an introvert and those people are extroverts. And so I'm going to stay away because that's just who I am. That's just my personality. And yet, that's just another us versus them. That's what keeps us from one another. I'm just such a very busy person and hanging out at church and going to some groups at church. It's only for those people that have time, like the university students who say they have no time, but actually they have a lot of time. And there's another us versus them. And because of this separation that exists even in the church, And we're a unique church. We're an international church, and there are so many different lines that we could draw. But even if you are at your home church in your home country, and there's one culture, and there's one group of people there, you know what I'm talking about, right? There's a separation that is in that church, and we don't really feel that sense of family and community within the church. Well, maybe some of your churches are a little bit different. This separation does exist. This separation exists out in the world. But this separation is something that we as a church, we need to fight against. Because here's the thing. What Paul is talking about here is we are supposed to be united as one. But when we don't have that in mind, what we're going to see is that we're forgetting about Jesus Christ and what he accomplished. In this way, we depend more on our identity as a Taiwanese, as an American, as an Indonesian, as a Malawian. We identify more with our culture. We identify more with our status, our work. We identify more with these things rather than identifying with Christ and saying, because of Jesus Christ, we are a family here. And that's our sin. That's one specific sin that we could point to today. And because of that sin, because of how we separate ourselves from other people, and we say that we are different, and usually, to be honest, when we say we're different, a lot of times what we're saying is we're better. Think about it. And we do this. And what it creates in this world, what it creates in the church, is a group of people that are separated from each other without hope. People feeling lonely. People feeling like they're all alone. People feeling like there's no one there for them. Some of us here, we don't have any family here. And we go to the hospital on our own. And we feel like no one is there for us. No one that's close to us is there for us. Because we don't see the people at church as people that are close to us. Without hope and without God. And that continues to spread around the world. And as Gentiles in the flesh, or even let's use it spiritually, unbelievers, you let this go on and on and on. And what you'll find in the world as a pattern in this world is where people are continually separated from each other. And you see biases, prejudices, you see hate, you see wars. You see this pattern of hurting one another. You see this continual conquering and revenge and death. And you see this continually happening around the world. You know, with all the stuff that's going on in the Middle East right now. And, you know, today we prayed for America and we're praying for safety in the schools. There's a stuff that's going on the university campuses where there's riots and protesting and all these things happening. And it's based on this idea of us versus them, right? I remember I saw a movie and it's called The Kingdom. And I don't really remember much of the movie. But there was one part of the movie that really stuck out to me, and that was at the very, very end. The whole movie was about some type of war happening in the Middle East, and they were going to rescue their people, and they're talking about how the people that they were fighting against were like brutes. They're animals. They're just terrible. They saw how they treated one another, and they saw how they were treating them, and then how they lost their fellow soldier and all these things. And they were talking about how they want to get revenge on the people. and all these things. And at the very, very end of the movie, it has these types of ideas that are circling in your mind, and then it pans over to another little child that's in the Middle East. And this little child lost his father. And this child says, I'm going to get my revenge. You see, both sides suffer loss. Both sides are saddened by the loss of family. Both sides lose when war happens. But these kinds of things are happening. And one of the factors is this idea right here. See, the thing is, we're talking about separation and how as Christians, we were meant to belong, but as Christians, as a church, we need to be growing together as a family. We need to understand that you have a purpose from God to belong to the family of God and to belong to this local church. I'm not saying our church, Friendship Church, is the only church. What I'm saying is whatever local church that you're dedicated to, whichever local church that you're at, you need to be a part of the family and the life of that church. And the reason is because when we look to Christ, we're going to see that it was through what Christ did that we were brought near. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You see, for all the ways that we sin by having biases and this desire to keep away from other people, this idea that we're going to save ourselves because no one's going to understand me. I just need to make sure that I take care of myself and I don't have to get to know other people. I'm too busy taking care of my own life and I need to stay away from what's going on at church. Not that it's a bad thing to be at church, but I need to make sure I'm taking care of myself because that's what's important. For all these different ways that we're not obeying this idea that we are a family here together and sinned against God in this way, this is what caused a separation between us and God. But what Jesus Christ did was that he went to the cross and shed his blood for us so that we can be reconciled and have a relationship with God once again. It says that he made peace. He brought about peace, and he brought about this reconciliation. And it goes on in the next number of verses to talk about specifically what he did, what Jesus did. Verse 14 talks about how he made us one. It talks about how he brought the two, the Jews and the Gentiles, and made them one. And actually, this wording is not just about two. It says, it uses the word both, brought the both of us and made us one. But it's not just about two different groups. It's talking about any number of groups that have been separated. You can expand this number out to be any number. The point being that Jesus has brought the two or any number of groups and made them into one. And as Jesus made them into one, he broke down the wall of hostility. Whatever reason that we kept ourselves from each other, whatever reason that we had doubts about each other, whatever reason of why we looked back in history and we hated one another because of what happened with our ancestors or with our forefathers, all of that was broken down. Jesus broke down the wall of hostility specifically with the Jews and Gentiles by abolishing the law. And what does that mean? In the Old Testament, what God did was that he made it clear. I want you to know that I am different from all the other gods that you are tempted to obey. I want to make clear that I've made you into a people that's different from all the other peoples of the world. This is the word holy, that you are different, that you are set apart, that you are made different. And I want you to know that I am God, the creator, and everything else is created. I want you to know that you are a holy people, different from all the other people in the world. And the way that you're going to practice that is that you will be taking care of the people that are Israelites, just like you. I don't want you to marry with anyone outside of Israel. I want you to see yourselves as pure and continue to practice purity. And Gentiles, anyone outside of Israel, they are considered unclean. And there was a separation based on the law. And it makes it very, very specific. It says, based on the ordinances, based on these other little laws that are supposed to support the idea of the law. But what Jesus Christ did was that he made that law obsolete because he brought the two into one and broke down that wall of hostility that was established by the law, and that law was abolished now. Because Jesus, what he was doing is that he's creating a new man. Some people use this idea as a new man, like, I'm made into a new person. I'm a new creation. Great, that's true. But here in our passage today, it's saying we together, we Christians together, we are a new person together. Jesus Christ is our head, and we are Jesus's body together. So that if a finger, one of us is a finger, if a finger is in pain, then all of us, we say, ow! And we're caring for this person. But that's not going to happen if we don't see ourselves as a family. Right? When a person is celebrating, yes, I got a ring on my finger, then the whole body's going to be dancing and going to be so excited and happy about the fact that we have a ring now. That's what a body, the new man that Jesus Christ created, is supposed to be like. That's what every local church is supposed to be like. And Jesus Christ made peace, reconciling us together, the new man, to God. Yes, there's this individual idea that me, Peter Kim, you, what your name is, are reconciled individually to God. Yes, that's true. That exists. That's what's talked about in the Bible. But in our passage today, Paul is saying, we, the church, Jesus reconciled us together, the new man, the one man, reconciled us to God. You see what Paul's doing? He's really emphasizing this idea of we. We are supposed to be united. We are supposed to think of ourselves as a family here, as one group. We were reconciled to God, and that hostility was killed. So this is what Jesus accomplished. And what was the result of that? It says that he came to preach peace. He preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. See, this is such an important idea. Because what this is saying is that what Jesus Christ did was that he reconciled us together to one another and us to God. And what that means is that when we come together and we say that we are believers in Jesus Christ, I look at you and I can trust and I can believe that God is working in you. I can trust and I can believe that even though you hurt me, that Christ is working in you to forgive you and to make you into a better person. Even if you continue to hurt me, even if there's some way that you just continue to annoy me, but I can trust that God is working in you because we're part of the same body and the same spirit that's working in me is working in you. And so when I see you, when you see me, when you see each other, and when we look to Christ, we can have a very different view of one another. You are no longer so-and-so from a certain country that doesn't understand my culture and that continues to offend and hurt me because you don't know how I understand culture and what is proper. I don't have to see you that way anymore. The way that I see you is you are first and foremost my brother, my sister. We are in the same family. We are one body in Christ, and we are one. And all these other little differences, they're going to be worked out. It's okay. Brothers and sisters in a family, they end up hurting each other. But it's okay. You're still family. And you grow together. And you mature together. And you become an adult together. You see, what Jesus did was that he made it possible for all of us to have peace. And there's no longer this idea of us versus them. We are one new man. We are the body of Christ. And let me take it one step further. If the Bible is saying that we are the body of Christ, you know what the rest of Ephesians goes and talks about? It's talking about how we, as Jesus's body, this particular church, can now represent Christ in this world. Remember, the church of Ephesus was in a city with all these different ideas of what purpose in life should be. They were in a city where you had all kinds of sins that were going on in that place. It was a city with all kinds of injustices. But we are Christ's body in that city. We together are supposed to represent Christ together to this city. That's what we're meant to do. So we need to first understand that you are meant to belong. You're meant to belong in this church. As long as you're here in Taiwan, as long as you have decided that you're going to be a part of this church, you are meant to belong here. And you're meant to belong in this family. And for us to grow together during the time that you're here. And there's going to be a time that maybe you go back to your home country. And you find a church there. You're meant to belong there and be a part of that family there. And to grow with those people there. And to see those people as your brothers and sisters in Christ. You were meant to belong. So, participate in the life of the church. We come to our third point. What does it really look like to belong and to be a part of this church? Well, the passage goes on to talk about how we together, we have a purpose. And what is that? Well, first of all, it says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Again, really emphasizing this idea that you are no longer separated, but now you belong to this family. You know, just thinking about this idea that we are now fellow citizens and we are members of the household of God. I was thinking that as fellow citizens, we also have a national anthem. And that national anthem is talked about in the book of Revelation, where people from all around the world will be gathered together one day in heaven. There's going to be many different languages and people from all different tribes and countries and nations, but we're all going to be gathered together and we're going to be singing this one song together. And the song says, it's because of you, Jesus. It's because of you, God, that we have salvation, that we're here together. We're gathered here together and we're so happy and we're so proud of the fact that you are our God. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. And we want to praise you and give glory to you and honor to you. And we want to say that you have all wisdom and we want to thank you. And we want to say you have all the strength to rescue your people. And we are here today from people with people from all around the world, with people from all periods of time, all throughout history gathered together. And we're singing together our national anthem. We are saved because of our God. Our God has made it possible for us to be reconciled with him, and he has made us into one family. What are we supposed to do before that time? Well, we as a church, it says that it was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So as a church, yes, we want to be a light in this world. We want to represent Christ in this world. But how do we know what that means? How do we know what that looks like? Well, the apostles and the prophets were the ones that wrote scripture. And they represented God. And they were with Jesus. And they made it clear for us what Jesus' teachings were. And so we together, we need to be looking to God's word, studying God's word together, doing that on a weekly basis, whenever we get together, even talking to each other about scripture and helping one another remember that we who were once far away from God were brought near together, and we together have a purpose in this world. And we'll be able to do that as we study scripture together. It goes on to say this, in whom the whole structure, is talking about Jesus, in whom the whole structure being joined together, we the church are being joined together, we grow into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We are to be growing together. We use scripture to understand more and more what God desires for us. We are supposed to represent Christ in this world. And with God dwelling in us, we being the dwelling place of God, we are the ones that are supposed to shine God's glory into this world. That's our purpose. Now, what does that look like very practically, very specifically? I wanted to make it very, very specific to our church. Okay, so if you're visiting, we're glad that you're here. But I want to make this very, very specific for our church people. What does it mean to belong, to be a part of this family here? We want to be built up together. And the first topic is about church membership. Last week, I made a joke. And I said, please join membership class. Please be a member. Some of you guys have been here for 2 or 3 years, and you guys are acting like members of the church, but you're not actually members because you didn't go through the membership process, and you're just acting like fake members. I made a joke like that. I wanted to apologize for that. I'm sorry that I made a joke about that, and I want to make it clear. There are some of us here that have specifically come and talked to me about why you're not able to join membership. I understand. That's fine. But if you don't have a specific reason, then please join membership. Membership is, again, something where we say, we are committing as a church to you, and you are committing to this body. We're recognizing that you're a part of this body here. And we're going to commit to grow together. We're going to commit to pray for each other. We're going to commit to look to God's word together. We're going to commit to be a light in this world together. Let's grow together. Let's get to know one another. And let's not do it like a person that says that they're in a relationship with someone but never gets married. Let's not do that. Let's take that step of commitment and say, we are joining this church. Now, the previous pastor of this church, Pastor Dennis Brown, I remember he came up to the front and he said, we're having membership class. Please join our membership class. Because membership is found in every page of the Bible. That's what he said. And I remember one person told me afterwards, they said, because he said it was in every page of the Bible, that they decided to take the membership class and joined. I said, great. But is membership found in every page of the Bible? That's what I was thinking. But then as I thought more and more about this idea, and just thinking about today's sermon, whenever it talks about love one another, build each other up, whenever it talks about, you know, sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another, Whenever it says these kinds of things in scripture, and especially when you look at our Ephesians today, Paul is writing to a specific church. He's writing to a specific church and saying, I'm not talking to all the different churches out there. You, the church of Ephesus, you, Friendship Presbyterian Church, you are being built up together to be the body of Christ. And so if that's the case, you are members of this family here. And so whenever you talk about unity, whenever you talk about how Christ brought about reconciliation between us and God, that's talking about membership. That's talking about us being together as a church. And so I agree with Pastor Dennis that we here together, whenever we talk about membership, it's talked about all throughout in the scriptures. Second thing, community group involvement. So many of us have been part of our church, and some of you have been part of community groups in the past but are not today. Some of you have told me specifically the reasons why. Great, I understand. But we want to try to get back into a community group as much as possible. Why? Because we could gather like this on Sundays, but, you know, does Luke, that's sitting over there on that side of the church, does he know what's going on with Larry and what's going on in his life? Maybe, but maybe not. Because you guys are sitting so far apart from each other on Sunday service. And you guys usually sit on that side because I see every single week who sits where. And people have a habit of sitting in a similar place, right? And so church on Sundays is great. And I'm glad that you're here. But in order to really grow together, in order to really get to know other people in the church, in order to really feel like family together, community groups is the place to do that. And so I really want to really emphasize, if you're not part of a community group, look at the list of community groups, make the time and get to a community group. Because if you feel like you've been a part of this church and you feel like you haven't been growing, or you feel like you've been a part of this church and no one else is reaching out to you, if you feel like you've been a part of this church for years and you still feel kind of new and you don't really know other people and you still kind of feel lonely in our church, it might be because you're not in a community group. If you're in a community group and you still feel that way, there might be other factors. We could talk about that more later. But I can't emphasize how important it is for us to be involved in a community group. Number three, begin serving. Serving is a great way to get to know other people. Serving is a great way to begin to care for other parts of the body. Serving is a great way to serve the whole body together. And so if you volunteer yourself to serve in some kind of way, and what we say in the, what we used to say in the membership class, not so much these days, is that if you don't know where to serve, just volunteer for ushering. It's one of the easiest ones. All you have to do is just stand there and smile. That's it. And maybe you need to click a button to count how many people are coming in. Just volunteer to be an usher. Serve, because this is a great way to be a family together, to care for each other's needs. Number four, making it a priority. You know, being a part of a church family and feeling like you're a part of a family doesn't happen automatically. If you're away from the church for months, if you're away from the church for a whole month, even if it's just 1 month, when you're away from the church, you're going to begin to feel like you're not a part of the church anymore. You're going to come back and you're going to feel like, oh, it feels a little bit weird. That's normal because you've been away from the church. Some of you talk about how busy you are and how many different things you need to take care of on Sundays because that's just the nature of your work, or that's the nature of your schoolwork, or whatever it might be. This is the only time that you could rest. This is the only time that you could go on vacation. And so you miss out on church. But then, whenever you do that, are you thinking about what's going on with the church here? I'm not saying you have to be here at every single Sunday. But what I am saying is that it's important for us to be here on Sunday. Because this is the way that we could catch up with one another, that we could be a family, to pray for one another, to ask about how you're doing. That's not going to happen when we're just doing church online. That's not going to happen just by coming to church every once in a while. Make it a priority to be at church. Make it a priority to go to a community group. Work it out in your family somehow of how you're going to do that. Work it out. Make it a priority. And the last thing is putting meaning into it. A couple weeks back, I was talking about this idea with a brother because I heard this idea from somewhere. I forget now where I got it from. But this idea, I think it's such an important idea. This idea is that, you know, whenever a holiday passes by, that holiday has meaning for you because you make the effort to do something for that holiday. It has meaning for you because you put meaning into that and you say, this is an important holiday. And that's why it's important. That's why you make time for it. Some people see their birthdays as an important day. Great. What happens on that day is you say, this is an important day, so I'm going to make sure that I find some people to celebrate with, or I'm going to make sure that I buy myself a cake. And you put meaning into it. Now, how many of us here, when we think about church, when we think about FPC, when we think about community groups, how many of us are actually making the effort to say, because Jesus Christ made the two one, reconciled my relationship with God and made me one with this particular body, that I see this as such an important thing that I want to do what I can to be involved in the life of this church. I'm going to put meaning into this. I'm going to see this as an important thing, and I'm going to make decisions to put aside other things in my life to make sure that I make time for this because this is important. Put meaning into it. You know, I think this is going to be so important for us. This particular sermon is so important for us as a church because next month, we're going to start transitioning to a new location. We're going to be going into a new building the beginning of June. There's going to be a lot of transition happens. We're going to go from one service to having two services, the first one at 11:30 and the second one at 4 p.m. There's a lot of things that we need to do. We need to move a lot of stuff. We need more volunteers to help out. We need to do a lot of stuff. And usually what happens when a church moves is that some people, they decide, I don't know if I want to move with the church. Maybe this is a good time for me to go to another church. Great. If you go to another church, make that your church community. Be a part of the family there. But if you're going to stick with us, let's be a family together. Let's go through this time of transition together. Let's really help each other out during this time. God has called us to have a purpose. And part of that purpose for us here is for us to belong, for us to be a part of the kingdom of God, to be a part of the family of God. And that is specifically lived out by being a part of this church family here at Friendship. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us. Let's put meaning into that. Let's grow. Let's make it a priority. Let's grow together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you are such a mighty and powerful God, that you made it possible for us to be made alive with you, but not just individuals or not people from just specific groups, but Lord, you made people that were at opposition with one another to become one, and you've brought about a new nation, a new family, and you've made us into that new family. I pray, dear Lord, that you would work in our hearts, that we would begin to put meaning into our church, that we would make it a priority, and that we would grow together as a family here. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.